He told us that we weren't as important or as special as we might think we are, and that we needed each and every one of us to use our faculties of reason to battle the authorities of church and state. Baruch, later Benedict Spinoza, paid for these beliefs, considered radical in the 17th century. The philosopher was excommunicated from the Portuguese Jewish community of Amsterdam 350 years ago. To mark this anniversary and to learn more, we turn to Rebecca Neuberger Goldstein, who's the author of Betraying Spinoza, The Renegade Jew Who Gave Us Modernity. She joins us from member station WOMR in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Baruch Spinoza was only 23 years old when his Jewish community excommunicated him. Why? What was the threat from this young man?
There's still a bit of a mystery about that. One of the things that's important to mention is that that community had used the means of excommunication quite often, but his excommunication is very noteworthy for its vehemence and its finality. There was no door left open to return.
Tell us a little bit more about this community.
It was composed almost entirely of refugees from the Spanish-Portuguese Inquisition that was still raging in Spinoza's time. And when they got to Amsterdam, which was the freest city in Europe, they very quietly went about trying to reconnect to historic Judaism. And that was the community that produced Baruch Spinoza.
Yet not such a tolerant community when it came to his thought.
It's not clear that it was his thought so much, because there were others at the time who were also questioning rabbinical authority, who were excommunicated, who were allowed back in. But perhaps what he, even as such a young man, before he went on to produce his revolutionary thoughts that truly revolutionized Western philosophy, perhaps he had somehow broadcast to them that he just wasn't interested in conforming to the community, that being accepted by the community was not uppermost in his mind. That wasn't his means to salvation, although he too was very interested in salvation.
What was so revolutionary about Spinoza's thinking?
Well, there are so many things, but his view of God was quite revolutionary. He did identify God with nature. What he meant by nature was almost logic. One of the things that's most interesting about his views is that he puts so much faith in our faculties of reason that we can answer questions that religion tries to answer, that we can answer these questions ourselves by being rigorously rational and thoroughly objective about ourselves and our own emotions. He claims that so many of the views that we have about the nature of the world are just means of trying to feel more important in the world. Religious intolerance is the abiding theme in his work. How do we get past the terror that we all feel in being human and vulnerable, and get past the theological constructions that are built out of terror, and find our way towards rationality?
Einstein, when asked if he believed in God, replied, "I believe in Spinoza's God." What do you think he meant by that?
Spinoza had identified God with the laws of nature themselves, the beauty of the laws of nature, the logic, the harmony that's manifested in the laws of nature. And that seems to be what Einstein was responding to. He said that physics gave him a feeling of religious awe, that when he lost the religion of his early childhood, he never missed it because it was replaced by a grander paradise.
You write that Spinoza's political theories were influential in the founding of the United States.
Spinoza, as I said, had been born in Amsterdam, and it was a city to which many freethinkers flocked. John Locke got into trouble, the English philosopher. He spent time in Amsterdam. The air was full of the ideas of Spinoza, and John Locke left Amsterdam with much stronger views about democracy, about egalitarianism, about a rational sort of government. And John Locke went on and, of course, influenced the founding fathers of America. Sometimes when you read Thomas Jefferson or James Madison, it's almost as if you're reading Spinoza. All of the volumes of Spinoza were in Thomas Jefferson's library. So the influence of Spinoza may have been far more direct than just by way of John Locke.
Is Spinoza still relevant today?
Well, unfortunately, he's all too relevant since we have not really solved the problem of religious intolerance. We haven't solved the problem of people thinking that the group that they've been born into is the group that has the inroad with whoever is in charge, and that we haven't outgrown our tendency to believe with blind faith, to rely on authority and not on our own reason. How do we, with our limited intelligence and our own great terrors, how do we think clearly and allow everybody else to think clearly as well?
Rebecca Neuberger Goldstein, the author of Betraying Spinoza, the Renegade Jew Who Gave Us Modernity. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.